What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. It's your boy Steve here, and this is episode number 5. I'm alone on this episode, but it's okay. It's okay because got a lot of stuff to talk about with you guys. Mostly we're gonna really cover stuff that's happened this weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't have an episode last week. We had a lot of stuff going on, but this week we had some good. This weekend, actually, we had some really good wrestling, both from Impact Wrestling and from the WWE. We had Under Siege and WrestleMania Backlash. And what I'm going to say now to start off is that both of them were actually really entertaining. One better than the other, but regardless, both were really, really good. A lot better than expected. And, really, really good. Really good stuff. I guess we'd start off with Under Siege. Happened on Saturday night. What's the good thing about Impact? What I really enjoy is that they always start their pay-per-views with a pre-show. And their pre-show always has really good starter matches. You know, little warm-ups for a whole few hours of the main card. And I really enjoy these because sometimes they are, well, most of the time they're actually really damn good. They started with Heath and Rhino going up against Raj Singh and Sherna. And this was a pretty good back and forth. It's good seeing Rhino still being in the ring and actually competing. After so many years of him being there, starting, you know, back from what I remember, back in ECW and going around and going back and forth and stuff like with WWE and stuff like that, or WWF at the time, and WCW and all the places he's been through, to see him still holding strong and actually, you know, being I'm not gonna say the pillars because I wouldn't consider him a pillar, but still wrestling and still doing his thing after so many years. It's pretty damn cool. I like it. I like that he's doing things, and it was a really good back and forth. And one thing that I really enjoy, I really enjoy when Rhino comes in for the gore, cause it's so well, not just the gore, but whenever I see somebody just spear somebody, like it just brings me so much joy. it's isn't bad that I think that, you know, somebody getting folded in half is actually pretty entertaining. But I guess I enjoy the violence, right? That's fine. It's whatever. But yeah, he went in. He speared Singh, and then he went in for the pin, for the win. Good, really good first match. Like, so, it's not something that, you know, not a super crazy match, but it was a really good match. It was a good back and forth, and I enjoyed it. And then it was followed up by probably one of my favorite divisions of wrestling at the moment, other than what I'll talk about a little bit later. But I really enjoy the X Division in Impact. They are so fucking good. So talented. Killers. All of them. Killers in the ring. And this match actually included Rick Swann, Dorado Kid, and Speedball Mike Bailey, which we've spoken about on the last few episodes. He always comes up because he's so fucking good. So fucking good. And it was great. It was a great match. These guys, like we've said before, they put it all on the line every single match. And it's even if it's like this one wasn't for a title, wasn't for anything. It was literally just, let's go fight. And it was so fucking good. So good. Laredo Kid, fantastic fucking wrestler. Rick Swann, fantastic. Mike Bailey, still one of my favorite in Impact. And I really hope that he, you know, winds up getting some type of a title run. Because that'd be great. Because he'd be awesome with it. He'd be great. And then what was good about this match also is that night, it was a really good back and forth, and Rick Swann wound up coming out with a win. Really damn good. It was a real good pre-show. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I kind of wish that other places, well, not necessarily just other places, because other places still do it, but I kind of want WWE to do it a little more, other than just having people talking for whole hour and then replaying that whole hour throughout the event. But that's just my little gripe. But regardless, they're not gonna lose to me, but whatever. So now to the main show was actually pretty good. Actually really good, not pretty good. It was really good. I think there was probably like one or two things that was like not necessarily that it was bad, because these performers are great performers. The only thing is that kind of slows it down is that the crowd isn't really into it, or their back and forth isn't as prominent as you would expect it to be. But they're still great. They're all great wrestlers. Or is the fact that, like, sometimes, for me at least, sometimes I can give a fuck less. Like, as we'll talk about later in Backlash, there were a couple matches that I could just give a fuck less about. But Impact is, the first match was actually one that I really could give a fuck less about, which was Giselle Shaw against Madison Rayne. And even though it was a decent match, like I didn't really care much. Giselle Shaw won. She's been one of those wrestlers that came in within the last few weeks, and she had a lot of hype behind her, and she's good, but I just wasn't invested in the match. And it wasn't a bad match, but like I said, I wasn't invested in it. It was cool. It was all right. Like this was one of the not so great moments in the match that I you know, I say. But the next match was actually really good. That was Chris Sabin versus Steve Maclin. Both fantastic dudes in the ring. Great. Chris Sabin has been around for a while, and he continues to do his thing. He continues to amaze me, because every time he's in the ring, like, I thoroughly enjoy it. And then Steve Maclin is another one that at the last pay-per-view, they both went up. They were both in there with Trey Miguel, and they were really damn good. And in this one, they were both great. Not gonna lie, this was probably one of my favorite matches, because I do enjoy them in the ring. Sabin wound up getting a flying DDT, which set up for the cradle shock for the win. That was really damn good. That was a real, real good win. Like I said, super entertaining. Great match. And this is only the second match of the evening, which was fucking good. I enjoyed the hell out of it, like I said. Then another match that came on. The next match was the AAA Reina de Reinas Championship, which was Taya Valkyrie, who won it from Deonna Purrazzo at the last pay-per-view. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try to, you know, fight against her again to see if you know, she retains the title. And did she retain it? This was a fantastic back and forth. Like, Taya Valkyrie and Deanna Purrazzo are some of my favorite women's wrestlers in Impact. Honestly, I'm going to say it now. Like, Impact has probably the best women's roster, or how they as they call it, the Knockouts roster is fucking insanely good. They're great. They also have like the best run out there, like the best run for their money. Like like I said, their women's rosters is insanely good. And this match was fucking great. Deanna Purrazzo, she's a master in the ring, and I fucking love watching her matches every single time. Like, we saw her a couple weeks ago in AAA. She was great over there. Granted, it was a mixed tag match. But she's great in ring. And then seeing her go up against, you know, Taya Valkyrie was fucking fantastic. Taya Valkyrie is another one that's been around for a little while. She's been in WWE. She's been in Impact for a little while. She's been back and forth, and she's done the Indies. She's done AAA. She's been all over the place. And both of them are fucking fantastic. They have great back and forth, great chemistry in ring. And that's one thing that, like, sells you even more when you see that they're both, like, giving their all. And this match was great, like I said. Taya Valkyrie wound up retaining the championship against her, and then right after the ring, right after the match, Deanna Purrazzo got kind of upset that she lost, and she started to pretty much put Taya in an armbar, you know, her usual submission at the end of the match, or as she, you know, how she usually wins. But she tried to put her in the armbar, and then the lights go out, and then we get a former Impact champion, as well as a person that's been all over the place too. And we get the return of Maya Yim. She's actually Keith Lee's wife recently. But yeah, she's back. She's got a new contract over there. Unfortunately, it's only for 6 months. I heard over on Fightful them say that she's only got a 6 month contract right now. But she's back. They started duking it out over there between her and Deanna Purrazzo. Duking it out, trying to see who's gonna do what. But I'm excited for her return. Excited to see what they're gonna do with her. See how far they're gonna take her. How prominent her role's gonna be, and how long they're gonna keep her there. Because of course, you know, they can always re-sign her or give her a little bit longer of a stint there. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with her. Then the next match was probably another one of my favorite matches. I have a lot of favorites over here because these matches are all really fucking good. Really fucking good. Like, prior to the first one, that was it was okay. But these matches are really damn good. And this was, again, an X Division Championship match between Ace Austin, who won it last time, against Trey Miguel, who was the former champion. And this was fantastic back and forth. These dudes know how to get a crowd on their side. Whether it's heel or face, they know how to put together a match and get you invested from beginning to end to the end. Like, great, great back and forth, great, great fucking dudes, man. Like, I love seeing them in the ring. Like, they're really, really good. Towards the end of the match, Trey jumped off top rope or whatever, and he wound up messing up his knee, you know, or tweaking his knee, whatever, when he landed, and which led to Ace smashing him in the corner, and then going for the fold for the win. That was a great, like I said, great, great match. I really enjoyed the hell out of that match. It was so good. If you follow me on Twitter, you notice my enthusiasm for it. Because it's really damn good. I fucking love these dudes. And the fact that they like, if we've mentioned it before, I've mentioned it a couple times over here now, like, they put their lives on the line minute by minute for these X Division matches. Because they just go hard. It's like what they say, like, go hard or go home. Yeah, they go hard because they don't want to go home. Especially, they don't want to go home without the belt. And I totally understand, because I'd be the same way if I was in their situation. But it was really damn good. It was very, very... It was probably my favorite match of the night. Which led to the next match, which was the Honor No More, with the dudes from used to be in ROH versus the Bullet Club. They were too sweet. So the dudes from Honor No More, Eddie Edwards, Mike Taven, Mike Bennett, Kenny King, and Vincent, that went up against Switchblade Jay White, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, El Fantasmo, Chris Bay. This was an all-out brawl. There was no real stipulations as far as, like, oh yeah, you know, it's gonna be a crazy, you know, it's gonna be a brawl in general. It's not. That wasn't it. It was a regular tag match, a little Sandman tag match, but it was absolute mayhem. They kept, of course, they were in ring. They were doing a bunch of things in ring, but what wound up happening is that they were all over the place too. They were outside the ring, on the mats, going crazy, and it was, like I said, absolute chaos. And I fucking loved every minute of it. It was so damn fun. Vincent landed on, jumped off the turnbuckle and fucking wound up landing a flipping senton on everybody. Fucking great. Carl Anderson, another fantastic worker that kind of got distracted by Maria Kanellis, that was on the outside, and then which led to Kenny King, who basically wound up, like, you know, giving him a low blow, and then coming in with the OGK to pin Anderson, which was kind of sad, because I kind of wanted Bullet Club to win, because I'm a fan of the Bullet Club. I have a Bullet Club shirt, because why not, right? Kind of makes me want to now get an Honor No More shirt, because they are pretty dope. Like, I do like the dudes from ROH. They're really damn good. And especially now that, like, not just, you know, the dudes from ROH, but Eddie Edwards is actually really damn good too. He's from, because I've never really seen him before. I recently saw him watching Impact and stuff like that. But I know he's been around for a while. And he's actually, like, every match that I've seen him in, it's been very promising. And I know he's been around for a while too, so, like, I enjoy him. And I kind of want to get an Honor No More, you know, represent a little bit. Good, that's cool. That's good shit. The next match was the Knockouts Championship with the Boricua Badass, Tasha Steelz, against Havoc for the Knockouts Championship. This was a really good match. Great back and forth. You would think that it would have somehow been a what are they called? A bit of a slaughter. Noticing the size difference between Havoc and Tasha Steelz. Tasha Steelz is a tiny little person. Havoc is just towers over her, and her size is just crazy. It's a huge dichotomy of size and styles and everything. It's really damn good. It was a really good match. Tasha Steelz is really damn good, and she knows how to work the ring, and she wound up getting a crucifix bomb for the win, which was fucking great, dude. She is really damn good, and I'm glad that she is. It's representing us Latinos, you know. Really damn good. It's really good to see her actually in ring. She's fucking great in ring. I enjoy it, you know. And she's also representing the Northeast too, you know. It's part of the, she's from Jersey and stuff, but you know, whatever. I can't hold that against her. But she's actually really good. I enjoy her styles, and I enjoy what she does. It's really good shit. The next match after this one was the Impact World Tag Team Champions between the Briscoes and Violent by Design. This was another match that I was like, yes, please. Because Violent by Design is actually really damn good. They're a good Impact team. They've been around for a while. The team itself has been around for like 15 years or so. But they've had different iterations of the team. But this one was basically Eric Young and Diener as the duo for Violent by Design. And it was a great back and forth. Like, I love seeing the Briscoes in a ring. Mark and Jay are fucking fantastic, dude. They're really damn good. And you can see why they've been championships. They've had championships all over the place. And it's like, it's so damn good to see them in the ring and seeing their back and forth, seeing their characters develop in ring. And it's like, shit, dude. How can they not be fucking champs? Which led them to the win. They went in for a doomsday device against Diener, put him out the pasture, and got the W, dude. They won the Impact World Tag Team Champions. They are the world's tag champions. It's really damn good. Like I said, I enjoyed the fuck out of this match. It was super fun, so exciting, and I must say, I want to see where else they're going to go with this. Because they are a fantastic fucking tag team. So damn good. Great in ring. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do, especially now in Impact, where Impact has another great roster over there too. So it's good shit. Then after that was over, Moose came out, started talking about, you know, being an ass and trying to mend ways and trying to go for the title again. And then the lights go out, and then a promo video comes out with a video basically hinting at or a bit of a vignette revealing that about Sami Callihan and his injury, and then the lights come back on, and then you see Sami Callihan standing behind him, finally back from injury. He's been out for a few months, finally back. And he hit him with a pile driver and beat him in the ring. Great. Really good to see Sami Callihan back. Very excited to see what him and Moose are going to do at Slammiversary, because that's their next pay-per-view. So that I'm excited for. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be very exciting. So I cannot wait for Sami Callihan versus Moose again, because they're both really damn good. And then, speaking of really damn good, the main event, we had Josh Alexander, who we spoke about on the I believe it was the last episode or the episode before that. Josh Alexander against Tomohiro Ishii, who we spoke about a couple weeks ago, where Ishii was over on Dynamite, on Rampage. They showed up on Impact, and then he's pretty much been everywhere. So he was back at Impact, going up for the championship. And dude, that Japanese strong style is probably one of my favorite things to see. My favorite things to watch, because, like I said, I love the violence. Violence is really I guess I can say, like, does that give me like masochistic ways in a way? Does that give it, does that make me feel like a masochist? I don't know how to say it. Whatever. But yeah, I enjoy seeing people get hurt. it's fun shit. But this match was really damn good. They pull out all the stops. This was like we saw Ishii previously, like, he brings the fight every single time. And you can't say that you've seen a bad Ishii match. The few matches that I have seen from him have been absolutely fantastic. This doesn't change it. This doesn't change my thoughts. Like, I enjoy seeing him in the ring. I enjoy seeing Josh Alexander in the ring as well. So this match, back and forth from beginning to end, was fucking fantastic. It was like the cherry on top for Under Siege. And at the end, Josh Alexander powerbombed them and then followed up with the C4 pile driver and went for the victory. Fantastic. I don't know why there aren't more people watching Impact Wrestling. Granted, yes, finding their stuff on TV is pretty difficult. And I understand that, because sometimes I have a hard time finding it. But the cool thing is that if you go to their YouTube channel, you can get their, their Impact Plus. It's like $1 a month, and you get pretty much access to their weekly show and, random things here and there. But then if you pay like $15 a month, you get access to like all of their, WWE says their premium live events or their pay-per-views. Get all that shit up there too. Or you can watch it all on Fight TV, because of course, you could click the link in the description for our show and you get it over there too. But yes, Impact Wrestling is the next best thing, in my opinion. Like, I enjoy the shit out of Impact just as much as I enjoy WWE. Let me rephrase that. I enjoy Impact just as much as I enjoy AEW. And that's pretty. That's it for that. Like, I enjoy the fuck out of it. Like I said, Impact, it's great. I really hope they get a bigger following, and I can see them going places. I could see them like rising to the top and becoming like the best competition between AEW and WWE, even though WWE doesn't think that AEW is a competition, but they clearly are, because WWE is trying to change the way that they do things. And also the fact that now WWE has Cody over there trying to, not necessarily, I don't think that he's trying to change the narrative over there, but you can slightly see, since he jumped over, you kind of see the shift in stories and storytelling over there. Which leads us to WrestleMania Backlash. Another great paper. I'm not going to say great, because it was actually really damn good. To me, honestly, not as good as Under Siege, because Under Siege was really damn good. And Backlash was pretty good. It was good. So, like, if Under Siege, if I give that like an A+, I give WrestleMania Backlash like I'm gonna say like a B+. It was good, but it wasn't great. Like I said previously, like, I am not a fan of the fact that they, they give a whole roundup of a whole promo reel of what's going to happen at the pre-show before the main show. And then they replay it over and over again. Like, why would you? Why? You know, that's just me being nitpicky. Like, why do you need to replay the whole thing? Do like a whole hour worth of stuff, of previews of, oh, this is what's gonna happen with this story. Where is this story? What's going on with it? And then, as the night progresses, you repeat the same thing before every single match. Most people have watched these most people like me, like, I'll sit there and I'll watch the pre-show because, of course, you know, I'm looking forward to more matches. I like seeing more stuff. I get it. The crowd that's supposed to be at the arena can give a fuck less about it because, of course, they already know they're going to be there for 3 hours, 3 hours plus. They're not going in expecting a whole extra hour worth of stuff, but I enjoy seeing it. Like I said, I enjoy the violence. And that's just how it is. That's just what it is for me. I enjoyed it. So they started off with probably my second favorite match of the night of Backlash. And that was Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Again, we saw them at WrestleMania, and that fight was okay at WrestleMania, but this fight was actually a lot better because Seth Rollins, to quote the commentators, he had a while to he had a month pretty much since WrestleMania to calculate and learn Cody Rhodes' moves, because from what he was saying is that he didn't know that Cody was coming over here to wrestle. But yet, if you were anywhere on the internet, you kind of knew that Cody was jumping ship and headed his way towards WWE. But no, Seth Rollins didn't know that. Yeah, okay. This was a fantastic match. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Cody is a hell of a fucking performer. No matter how you look at it, whether you like him or you don't like him, like, he is fucking good. And Seth Rollins, by God, Seth fucking Rollins. Oh no, correction. Seth freaking Rollins is so damn good as well. Like, they know each other, and they put themselves in a place where you're just like, oh my god, how is this gonna go? How are they gonna make this work? And they do. They make it work so well. Probably, like I said, probably one of the best matches of the night, and they had a great amount of near falls. And then at the end, Seth goes in for, he does the roll up, and then Cody reverses the roll up, does the roll up, and then holds on to the tights. Oh no. And goes for the win. He gets the pin. The 1, 2, 3. And then you're thinking, oh my god, is Cody turning heel? Probably not. Because that is kind of like a heelish babyface kind of thing. Because it can happen to anybody. Anybody can do that. Then afterwards, Cody was like, I'm kind of done with this story. He already got his two wins. He doesn't need a third match. Even though I would not mind seeing a third match in this. But it was pretty cool. It was a good match. It was probably the best match of the one of the best matches of the night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It's good seeing Cody back in the ring. And Seth Rollins, like I said, Seth Rollins is a hell of a fucking worker. The next match was actually Bobby Lashley versus Omos, or however you say it. It's Omos. I say Omos, because this was almost a good match. That's fucked up. I'm sorry. But I honestly, this was one of the matches that I was not invested in this at all. I can honestly give a fuck less about it. Bobby Lashley, he's good. But he kinda, he sold the fuck out of this match. Like, he was the reason that people were invested in this, because Omos, or however you want to say it, the old man, he's okay. He's not great. He's not bad. But he's not the reason why I wanted to watch this match. He's not who I wanted to win this match. And he won. but I guess it's mostly because he's got MVP on his side right now. And I can see where Omos might be going in the near future. He is like, 7'4", ridiculously huge dude. And with MVP on the side, I'm pretty sure they have some type of story with him, or some type of, or some way of improving his character to the point that he could have championship contention in the future. So I kind of want to see where that goes. But as far as Omos versus Bobby Lashley, I don't want to see another match from them. Bobby Lashley held it down for the most part. Like, he put it on. He put it on. He put on a hell of a match, and he sold the fuck out of things. Like, I enjoyed that part of it at least. But then after that, I didn't mention that Omos won. Yeah, he won. He beat Bobby Lashley. But like I said, didn't really care for it. Then we got a match that I was actually looking forward to. That was AJ Styles versus Edge. Edge is the rated R superstar. Now the leader of Judgment Day. Or how I said before, it was the the House of Purple. Because all they had was, especially in the first few weeks or whatever, there's nothing but surrounded by purple. And it was cool. It was funny, to me at least. I'm pretty sure some other people said the same thing, but it was pretty cool. Whatever. I kind of like that a little bit better than Judgment Day. Whatever. But that's not in my jurisdiction. I can't say anything. Whatever. This is actually a really good match. I've enjoyed AJ Styles for quite some time before he even got to WWE. Actually seen him around for a while. Actually recently I was watching, it was something on YouTube, and it was actually AJ Styles in ROH. I'm guessing like early 2000s. Really fucking good. And he's still just as good now. Almost, 20 years since then. So, it's fucking great. It's really damn good. One of the moves that really got me was that he went for the Pele kick and it kicked him straight in the top. He kicked Edge on the top of the head and you heard it. And I was surprised that Edge didn't just fall the fuck out. Because that was one of those things. You're just like, oh my god, that's like concussion city right there. But that was really good. I enjoyed that one. It was just crazy back and forth. Really damn good shit. And what I loved about the match too is that previously they kept going back and forth and talking about AJ Styles having a shoulder issue or a shoulder injury. And what I love is that Edge tried to capitalize on that, and he did very well. He knew how to work the system, or work the body, not necessarily just the system. But he worked it. He worked the fuck out of it. And just when you think that Edge was gonna lose, essentially, Damian Priest comes out. He walks out and distracts AJ. And then in that course also distracting the referee. And then he doesn't, usually they'll run into the ring and they'll start some type of thing or whatever in the ring or close to it. As the ref is screaming at Damian to get away, AJ turns around towards the outside of the ring on the other side, and a goon essentially comes and pulls him down against the ropes. He falls back, which led to Edge going for the pin after it's all over. Oh no, actually for a submission, because he puts him in a submission. He comes out the win. Finn Balor ran out, of course, to help out against Damian Priest or whatever, but that really didn't matter. It really didn't matter at that point. It was all over. And then, lo and behold, the person that was underneath the hood was actually Rhea Ripley. Rhea fucking Ripley. One of my favorites in WWE. Like, I've enjoyed her when she was in NXT. I did see her some for a bit in NXT. Also, I've enjoyed her as having a tag team. Her solo run's really good. Her recent stuff with Liv Morgan's been really fun. Her stuff with Nikki A.S.H. was actually pretty fun. But now seeing her turn full heel, even though we kind of saw it a couple weeks ago. It's pretty damn cool. She's now adjoined with Judgment Night. So, excited to see what they're going to do there. This was a solid match. This is probably one of my favorite matches of the night. I really enjoyed it. Then the next match was actually my favoritest match. Yes, favoritest is correct. That is what I fucking said. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And this was a I Quit match. Yes, that's right. An I Quit match. You don't usually see a lot of women's I Quit matches. Actually, no, correction. You do see that, but whatever. WWE doesn't really do that very much. But this was actually damn good. Brutal fucking match. I said it on Twitter as well, like, we need to make kendo sticks legal. Legalize kendo sticks in wrestling, because they make it just that much more fun. We see, you know, Hikaru Shida comes out with the kendo stick every match, but of course it's still technically illegal. But Charlotte and Ronda holding kendo sticks and beating the fuck out of each other. Like I said, I enjoy the violence. I enjoy seeing people beat the shit out of each other. And that was great. I fucking enjoyed the hell out of it. It was really damn good. At one point, Charlotte walked towards the Titantron and hides for a second and pulls out two kendo sticks. And then they kind of had like a Jedi brawl just before Ronda Rousey winds up beating her with a kendo stick and then taking her sticks away, taking Charlotte's sticks away. It was great. It was fun. Then they wound up going into the crowd and fighting the crowd. And what I loved about it too is that they had no problem screaming bitch at each other. And I fucking loved it. Like I said, I enjoyed the hell out of this match. It's fucking great. Then Ronda Rousey, one of my favorite points of the match was when she had her in the tree of woe on the hanging from the apron. And it was fucking fantastic to see Charlotte just screaming out, "No, oh no, it hurts, it hurts." But it was fun. And then towards the end, Charlotte brings the table, because everybody was screaming table, but that didn't happen. But she brought out a chair into the middle of the ring. She tells Ronda, "Are you gonna quit now? Are you gonna quit?" And then she's like, "No, bitch." And she winds up switching the roles and hitting her with an armbar in between the steel chair in the middle of the ring. And then she's like, "Oh, what did you quit? Did you quit?" And she's like, "No." And then she goes even tighter. And she winds up quitting. Charlotte Flair quit. Leading to have Ronda Rousey now being the SmackDown Women's Champion. Like I said, this was a great match. Fucking fantastic. I fucking loved it. My favorite match of the night. Really damn good. Really fucking fun. Like I said, I fucking loved it. What sucked is that, shortly after the match, the backstage commentators pretty much, said that Charlotte is gonna be out because of a radial tear, which is technically saying that, she pretty much, messed up her arm. And she's going to be out for a little while. From what they're saying online is that she's actually planning on getting married sometime soon. So, we'll see. She also wanted to get some time off and shit, but who knows? She's been a champ for a little while, so let's see. Let's see what WWE has planned for Ronda Rousey. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm excited for it. It was a great match. Like I said, my favorite match of the night. Then it was followed by Madcap Moss, which I fucking hate his name. Madcap Moss. I'm not a fan of it. Against Happy Corbin, which I'm not a fan of Happy Corbin either. But I get it. I understand his the reasonings for the Happy. I get it. Whatever. But another match that I was not excited for. They had a pretty good back and forth. Which wound up getting Moss wound up going in for a pin and defeating Corbin. It was okay. It was whatever. Yeah. Like I said, not my favorite match of the evening. Two not good matches for me on my points. Like for me, I didn't really give a fuck about it. Which led us to the main event. Only 6 cards on today's match, on Backlash, which was actually very, very satisfying as compared to the usual like 18,000 matches that they have that lead stories nowhere. And what kind of sucks is that this next one was actually the main event that I was excited for when they originally announced it as a title unification match. And then a couple days later, they changed it all up and switched it from a title unification match to a triple threat match with the Bloodline, which is Roman Reigns and the Usos, against RK McBro, which just sounds like the stupidest name ever, but it's kind of hilarious because I kind of enjoy saying RK McBro because it just sounds fun. It fits. Okay, don't call me an asshole because we know RKO is Randy Orton, the bro part is from Riddle, but the Mick in the middle is for Drew McIntyre. So RK Mick bro, it fits perfectly and it rolls off the tongue. I'm gonna say it all the time. I don't give a fuck. I don't know how long that's gonna last, if it's gonna keep going, but this was actually a really good match too. It was actually a really good way to end the pay-per-view. Great back and forth. I fucking love seeing Riddle in the ring. This little dude with no shoes always finds a way to entertain the fuck out of me. And like I said, I enjoy the fuck out of him. He's fucking good. He's really damn good. I can remember the first time I saw him was, of course, it was when I wasn't watching WWE. Because for a while, I gave up. I absolutely gave up completely. And first time I saw him was in the QT Marshall documentary that's on Amazon Prime. I watched it like over a year ago or so. This is when Riddle was already in WWE. But I didn't know of him. Like, I've heard of him, but I've never seen him in a ring. I've never seen him fight. Then watching him on documentary, I was like, oh, okay, I see where he's going, where his career could possibly take him. Because at that point in that documentary, he was still in training. He wasn't like, oh yeah, this is where I'm going. I'm going to be in WWE. This is pre his workout, his tryouts over there. Because he had the tryouts the same time that QT Marshall had his tryouts over there too. One went, the other one didn't. You probably know that by now, right? Obviously. Because one of them I'm talking about was in the main event for Backlash. This was a great fucking back and forth. It was a great match. Like, back and forth, really damn good. Mr. Sneaky fucking, because I honestly thought, oh no, this can't end this way. Because, Riddle hit, who was it? Riddle hit Jey Uso with the RKO off the top rope. And then Orton jumps in with the Superman punch and goes for the pin. I was like, no, then he's not the legal guy. He's not the legal guy. And then, yeah, it actually was him because he did the sneaky little fuck did the little blind tag. And I didn't notice it. But the ref did. Motherfucker. But it's okay. It's okay. Like I said, this was a good match. I enjoyed it. And overall, like I said, I really enjoyed Backlash. Somebody that did not enjoy WrestleMania. Just a couple things here that I enjoyed from it. But as far as watching Backlash in a whole, it was pretty damn good. Was it better than Under Siege? Not really. But regardless, they're both different companies. And they both have their pros and cons. There's no pun there because I know there is a con over there in at WWE, but it wasn't a shot. But yeah, it was good. They were both really good pay-per-views, which led to a great weekend in wrestling. Because of course, you know, there's a lot of good wrestlings to watch. Like I said, watch both of them. Give it a shot. Let me know what you think. And if you want to watch Under Siege and you don't know where to go, I mentioned it earlier, but you can go to, click the link in the description and go to Fight TV. You get up a whole bunch of wrestlings. Other than the WWE, because you find the WWE stuff on Peacock. But as far as like ROH, you could find Impact, like I said. A lot of indie stuff is on there. GCW is on there. A lot of cool shit you can find over there on Fight TV. So go click that link, and it'll take you over there. And then all you gotta do is just, you know, whether you wanna buy it, you can buy it, or you wanna watch free stuff, because there's a lot of free stuff over there too. They got a lot of old school ROH free stuff. Find that over there. They got NWA over there, NWA Power. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Go check all that shit out. And there's a whole bunch of other places you can check out. Amazon Prime. You can check out some beardy stuff. You want some beard stuff for your... Obviously, I keep saying beard. But you check all that shit out. Like I said, Beard Octane. Type in ICD-10 for 10% off. Amazon. You want Amazon Prime. Click that link. Get your first month free with Amazon Prime. Wow, I said that real fucked up. But yeah, you get your first month free of Amazon Prime. Yeah, there we go. I said it right. Yay. And yeah, you guys know all the links. Find them all up there. Then the main place that you can find all the stuff for is Inner City Geeks. You can find us on the social. So Facebook.com/InnerCityGeeks. On Twitter, Inner City Geeks. On Instagram, Inner City Geeks. But you could find this show. All the stuff that we talk about sometimes, I'll post on the Suplex City Geeks Instagram, Twitter, not Instagram, because I don't have the Instagram over there. But find us over there. You can listen to the show if you're listening to the show right now. Hey, thank you. But you could also find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, and on motherfucking Spotify. Cause yeah, find it there. I'm all over the place with the outro. But I'm making it work, right? Why not? You can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. And like I said, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all of you. You guys are the best. This wrestling community is awesome. And we'd like to wish you the best in all your future endeavors.